born and raised in Waukesha. He did his first hunting and fishing right here. Now he hunts the world and cooks it up deliciously, featured as the Midwestern host of The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. Joe Clayfish was raised in the Shaw.
Good evening, Wisconsin. You're listening to 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. This is Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish. Of course, I am Joel Clayfish. And we're back live in, I'm going to nickname the studio here during the Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish. I'm going to nickname it the Fishbowl, because if you're on Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Waukesha, swing by, say hey. It's kind of a fishbowl. We get to do our broadcasts live here, looking out over lovely downtown Waukesha. I was born and raised in this city. Have we got an exciting show for you tonight? And when I say exciting, I mean we're going to tell some stories that you are not going to believe. The last time we spoke live, and we re-recorded a few shows for the last couple of weeks, but the last time we spoke live was right before I headed to South Africa for an Egyptian goose hunt and ended up hunting some other species there and eating some unbelievable food prepared on the braai. That's what they call a barbecue in South Africa. And just spending time with some unbelievable, amazing people in some of the most beautiful country in the world in South Africa. And that leads me to my guest, Bill Freemoth. Bill Freemoth came along to shoot video of the Egyptian goose hunt, which will be featured on The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. Of course, host Chad Belding is the host of the show, and I have the honor of being the Midwest host of The Fowl Life, which really is a lot more about cooking for The Fowl Life and the provider network than it is necessarily about hunting. I do a lot of hunting on the show, and we do some podcasts too. But really, it's about cooking. And that is, for me, if you know me, one of my favorite things. But and Bill Freemoth joins us in the studio live. Bill, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I think you do know that I like to eat.
Yeah, I would say that is definitely the case. But I'm right there with you, especially the stuff that we get to eat.
Yes, except for the difference is Bill Freemoth is about 6'4", weighs 180, and it's all muscle. I happen to reserve my weight in specific quadrants of my my body to look like I am not nearly as fat as I am. But that a lot of that comes from good eating and good healthy eating and the provider lifestyle, which is bringing game from the field to the table. Bill accompanied me to South Africa, and this was my second time. I had been there back in September, and when I leave South Africa, I dream about the day I'm going to return. And so, Bill, I want to know, what was your first take when you got to South Africa and when you started hunting there? You're an experienced, and just to give you just a little bit of background, Bill is a very experienced hunter and fisherman in the state of Wisconsin. He's very good waterfowler, deer hunter, turkey hunter. You have explored the gamuts of hunting in Wisconsin and in other places in the country and the world. I mean, you shot a Himalayan tar at one point, which is incredibly exciting. But what was your first reaction and experience to South Africa?
It was so much more different than I had ever imagined. I kind of had this perspective of what South Africa would be like just from watching YouTube channels or whatever things you ever saw. And to me, it always looked like you hop in the back of a Land Rover, you open up a gate, you drive into a pen, and you pick what you want to shoot. So when you asked me to go, the opportunity, it intrigued me definitely, but I had this perspective of what it would be like, and I couldn't have been any more wrong. I mean, the second we got there and just seeing the vastness of the landscape, it's just mind blowing how big the area actually is. And then being able to see, you know, multiple species in a day, that had to be by far probably the best part, is just knowing that typically when you go on a hunt, you target one thing. Like here in Wisconsin, you're going deer hunting, you're just looking for a deer. If something else presents itself as an opportunity, typically there's not a season or you don't have a tag. Whereas in Africa, you might go out for a kudu in the morning and halfway through the day run into an amazing impala or, you know, 13 different other species that were there. So that to me was what changed my mind about it, was just seeing that you had the opportunity to do whatever you wanted there. You could make the hunting as hard as you wanted or as easy as you wanted, really.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think let's talk just real quickly about some of the misperceptions about South Africa. First of all, one of the misperceptions is that it's kind of all high fence hunting. Now, I'm going to tell you, you do have to investigate if you are going to go to South Africa, because there is a lot of high fence hunting. And a lot of the high fence hunting areas are hundreds, if not thousands, tens of thousands of acres or hectares, they call them out there, which is 2 acres to a hectare, I think, roughly. And one of the things that's important to me as a hunter, especially if I'm going to spend the money, go to a different country, I want a fair chase hunt. And the area we go in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, so that's the entire region of South Africa that's on the southeastern side of the country, of the continent, down in the corner, but it's vast. We hunt with Johnny Fetting Safaris, which is 100% fair chase. There, you know, he's a cow farmer. Johnny Fetting's a cow farmer. He's got cows and goats, and he's got, you know, barbed wire fences. And that's one of the most amazing things to me, is when you see the wild game and they float over the fences. I mean, what was that like for you when you first saw these species and how they move compared to the average mammal in, you know, North America?
Well, there was a lot of similarities. Like you said, Johnny, he's a cattle rancher, first and foremost. So a lot of these western states that I hunt, you run into kind of the same thing. Massive tracts of land that are privately owned that just hold, you know, different species of game and quite a few of it. And the animals there in South Africa, they really acted similar to what our western big game does. They have their little pockets that they nestle into, and it just so happens to coexist right in the ranch where they're farming cattle. I mean, you could drive past a cow on the road and 20 yards later, here's a giant kudu bull, you know, just standing there. So.
Right. And the pursuit there is just, it's so incredible, because you've got your hiking boots on and, you know, you're dealing, you are aware of your surroundings, because they've got some, there are poisonous snakes in South Africa, but there are poisonous snakes in Texas.
Right.
There are poisonous snakes out west. So you're kind of, you adjust yourself to that. I think one of the other, you know, main misconceptions about South African hunting is that it's going to cost a fortune to do. And that is simply not the case. You know, if providing or hunting is something that is important to you, or it's an outlet, or it's something that brings you peace or joy, I would strongly recommend checking out South Africa, and in particular, Johnny Fetting Safaris. And yes, I am biased. I've been there twice within a year's span. But you're not going to spend what you think you will. You can do a South African hunt for between $3,000 and $5,000. Now, that's a lot of money.
Right.
That is obviously a lot of money. But if you're going to do a guided hunt out west in the United States for elk or something, you're going to pay upward of $10,000-$15,000 for that hunt. And the hunting in South Africa is just so incredible. And when you're on this cattle farm and you leave what looks small scale, you look around yourself, it could literally be a farm in western Wisconsin. When you look around, it's got, you know, there's grass, grazing areas, there's goats walking by, some barbed wire, you know, to keep the cattle in and around. And then you venture into this landscape in South Africa, which is really indescribable. You've got these burgeoning sunsets over the savannah that are just beyond recognition, beyond explanation. You can take as many pictures of you as you want, and they never do justice. And the thing about South Africa in the area of the Eastern Cape is that it's got so many different ecological landscapes. You can be in what is a mountainous, you know, jungle type area, and 20 minutes later be in the middle of the plains. And you can be in the jungle area and see a Nyala out of the middle of nowhere, and move 30 minutes down the road and see, you know, herd animals. You can see a zebra, a pack of zebras walking by with Impala or Blessbuck. It's just unbelievable. I find, Bill, that one of the things that was most intriguing to me the first time there is that excitement that is innate in not knowing what you're going to see because you can never guess it.
Right. And then even trying to remember the names of half of the stuff, you might see something and be like, oh, what exactly was that? Because some species look very similar. So just that was a really fun part for me, is just the first time you saw a springbuck or the first time you saw a blesbuck. And the longest time building up to it, I'm studying up on all these species, looking at them, trying to remember what they look like. And it doesn't really fill in until you get there and you see that first one. You know, there's iconic game that you always know what they are, like the kudu and, a warthog, obviously. But some of those plains game, they kind of look similar. So to just have that first time experience every time, you know.
And back to the cost, you know, a lot of ranches in throughout the United States, a lot of the high fence hunting areas do now allow exotic game. You can shoot a gemsbok, or, you know, they call it a horned oryx in the United States, or you can shoot even a kudu in the United States. But it's going to cost you more to do it in the United States than it is to go and into South Africa and shoot it in the wild in South Africa in many of those cases. And I knew this hour is going to go so fast. We're going to talk about food coming up. We're going to talk about our experience getting back, which was frightening to say the least. It's going to surprise you. Stick around. We'll be right back on WAUK, Raised in the Shaw.
That's not me. I rarely drink from the bottle, but I'll smoke a little weed. I still live in the sticks where you wouldn't go, in a town.